Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
At Mercy by Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music. And before it was Buba, Fuabo Romuluela with I Am Yours. Yeah, name pronunciation gets real behind these microphones. A very good afternoon to you and a warm welcome to Thursday's edition of Heart to Heart. My name is Lukom Kwedi Puti and I will be with you all the way up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's 5-2 Friday, and if you don't know why we call it that, well, let me fill you in. Because it's just so close to a Friday, but not quite there. I was actually just laughing last week, Friday. It almost felt as if Friday just came so quickly. And I had just said a day before that it's so close. So, guys, trust me, it's so, so close to a Friday, but it's not quite there. If you think about it now, actually, we are less than 12 hours. Yeah? We're less than 12 hours away from Friday. So, do you get it now? So close, but not quite there. Shortly from now, we're going to have Dr. Julius Manga Tumbu and with Power Word or Word Fest for this afternoon. Just a moment of us delving into the Word, Scriptures, and, you know, just praying. And I must say, I'm not comparing, but there is no segment that I truly have come to appreciate and grow from like WordFest. I'm telling you now, WordFest has groomed me in ways I cannot put to words, because it's honestly a moment of just learning, and not that moment that I get to have when I have my morning prayer, my evening prayer. Yes, there's a lot I can learn from that moment, and, you know, just prayer. But for me also, just hearing Dr. Julius, hearing Pastor Moyo unpack the Word for me, it grows me in unspeakable ways, I must say. So I encourage you to make it a habit to be sure to listen in on WordFest. Get your pen and Bible if you may, and learn a thing or two.
Come live the life at 657 AM.
Isinyathelo nesinyathelo sizohamba nawe indlela yonke. Sivakashele futhi uhlale ku radiopulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, welcome back. It's that time of the day. Dr. Julius on the other side.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good, Loco. How are you doing?
I'm good. Is that you wearing a jersey? Or is it a t-shirt? What is it?
Yeah, jersey t-shirt.
You have all people wearing a jersey because Dr. J never wears a jersey.
Yeah, I think it got a little bit cold around the season, but I think we're just transiting and trying to protect ourselves from the cold.
Some things are a shocker. That's I'm like, is that you wearing a jersey?
It's me, Loco. It's me.
Welcome back, Dr. J.
Thank you, Loco. Thank you. Appreciative of the platform again, and to our listeners who've been so plugged in and committed to this platform. I think you came by the church and you heard many people who follow what we're doing here. And I pray that definitely as we get into next week, you know, to share much more about the Vision Partnership, we will get more people, you know, plug in and be involved. Yeah.
I must say, I don't know why I thought of this when you walked in. I was like, when did you and I start? Was it beginning of this year or last year already? The level of commitment, guys. I feel like I'd forget at some point. No, hats off to you, Dr. J, I must say.
Yeah, thank you. We really thank the Lord because, you realize that the platform of Sunday is quite material. But you have this core group of people that you're reaching out to, and the very opportunity which is afforded by radio media in general reaches out to thousands and millions of people even out there. And to realize that we're living at the end times and there's an expediency in terms of the gospel. We have to share the gospel. It's very important, but very urgent as well, that many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And this might just happen even through the radio medium. Millennium. So we want to thank God that whoever got inspired to commence this radio station and has just stuck to the commitment till now. We celebrate the very fact that you have stayed the course and that you're looking up to Jesus. And we thank God for many souls being transformed out there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Love that one.
Quite exciting today. I will be sharing a little bit of what I picked up from Sunday.
Okay.
I told you last week I will be sharing, not because we're in the month of November, the 11th month, but I'm sharing on a subject, the 11th hour. But going into research a little bit, I realized that a lot of people have been able to discuss on the 11th hour. So I qualified it the God of the 11th hour, God of the 11th hour.
Yeah.
And conventionally, you read, I think, March 20 around 8, but I want to use an illustration today, which is John 11, 1 to 44. It's quite a long passage and is most celebrated priest passage on Lazarus. So I want to use that as an analogy, a metaphor of the God of the 11th hour, and realizing again that there might be three compelling realities that we've got to know about the 11th hour. And when you talk about the 11th hour, you're talking about a nick, you know, just
on
the nick of time. Nick of time. You know, the first reality, compelling reality around the 11th hour, if you're writing down, taking down some notes, is it signifies the last hour. It signifies the critical hour or the determinant hour. You realize, Mpo, if you're a soccer fan, that when you play soccer, you have conventionally, statutorily, 90 minutes, you know, to play a full game.
And then there's extra time.
And there's an extra time. That extra time gets to critical time.
Yep.
You know, because it doesn't measure the time which has been allotted already, 90 minutes.
Mm.
It's a critical time. It was even compounded by, I think, one of the Olympic soccer rules that gave, I think, a goal. If you score a goal during the injury time, you take the game.
Okay.
And it got the players very tense because the extra time is 30 minutes. So if anyone just scores in the very commencement of the 30 minutes, you've already taken the game.
Of course.
So it puts a lot of players under pressure, anxiety, under tension. And some of us who've played a soccer game, we know what happens on the field, on the pitch, when you are just given the extra time and you have to make sense out of it. And so some people are living also within the metaphor of an extra time. They're living at the edge of their seat. They're living at the extra time metaphorically, meaning they just are the wake of a breakthrough.
Mm.
They're just at the very expectant point of their lives. They're trusting God for that CV that they've put there. They're trusting God for that application, requesting the extension of their contract, if you understand me very well.
Yeah.
They've gone for diagnosis, and Monday might be a very determinant day in terms of the results. And between now and Monday, it might be the extra time.
Yeah.
It just might be that 11th hour where only God can step in. Somebody's smiling at me now.
I'm smiling because you kind of pointed the fact that we're in the 11th month, and the thought of the fact that somebody is looking at this month and thinking, what can I accomplish in the last,
definitely,
it's less than 2 months,
definitely,
actually.
Definitely.
Already they're like, nothing can happen. But listen, our God.
I got to show up for you. And that's a message we brought. I think you're preaching alongside me, you know, local, that God indeed shows up at the 11th hour.
Amen.
So number one, it signifies last hour, critical hour, determinant hour. But number two, write this down. It signifies last minute opportunities, last minute opportunities, miracles or breakthroughs. So at the 11th hour is that very time frame or that window period period where you're just trusting God. Father, I pray for a miracle. Amen. I pray for a breakthrough. And we're praying alongside you for that breakthrough today. If you're listening at us, come you know, we're praying for that breakthrough. We're praying for that miracle. You just might be within that window period where you are just trusting God, you know, for a breakthrough around your very situation of life. It is the 11th hour that God shows up. And I believe God is going to show up even in this very window period of your life. Also, the third point we must reiterate in terms of compelling reality around the 11th hour is that it signifies timely divine intervention.
Amen.
At the wake of human abandonment, desolation, or despondency. I repeat it again. It signifies timely divine intervention at the wake of human abandonment. You've given up on the situation.
Hey.
I'm telling some people, they've just given up on the situation. Or desolation, despondency. A story is told of this man who gets into a shipwreck and, you know, everybody gets missing and he finds himself in an island. You know, finds himself in an island. It's quite rainy. And he realizes that, look, there is no other land but the island where he is. And there's no means of communication. So he gets a reset, starts living, you know, in the survival mode. So gets into that island, gets some piece of wood and builds a hut, goes out hunting and tries to see what to survive on, eat on.
Until when?
Until when. And just hoping, you know, just trusting God and hoping for the best that somebody might pass around, something might happen. And he's in that abandoned island for quite a while, for weeks, and no ship passes by, no plane passes by even. But the truth is that his family already is concerned because there would have been report of him getting missing. But he has no contact with anyone, if not the animals there and also the trees around him. And above everything, the God over him, just looking at him and definitely keeping him safe in the midst of that very island and jungle. And so he's frustrated. He's frustrated because he's tried every effort to really signal. He has no way of getting information out there. So he's just surviving. He's just in that island. So on one occasion, he struggles in his very dexterity, in his skill and his ingenuity. He discovers how to light fire because getting cold. So he gets two stones, you know, as you have it, and he creates fire out of it.
If you watch Survivor, right?
So if you watch Survivor, you get what I'm talking about. And so he gets that inspiration and creates fire and puts some, you know, leaves around him and keeps himself warm throughout the night in that just makeshift hut that he's built. So by morning, he leaves. The fire is a little bit, you know, attenuated. He leaves and goes out for the hunt. So by the time he comes, he sees his hut on fire.
What?
The only hurt that could keep him, he sees it on fire. And he's so frustrated and he said, God, what next? I don't know. I'm in an island abandoned to myself. And the next thing is that my hurt gets burned down. I don't know what to do. But little did he know that that hurt getting burnt down sent out
a signal.
A signal. Oh, come
on,
somebody.
Had he known, he would have just burnt it himself.
Sent out smoke for an SOS signal. I don't know what is sending out smoke around your life now. I don't know what situation is sending out smoke around your life, but your life might be so much, you know, in consumption, you know, on fire that you're asking God, Father, why this fire? But you don't know that it's sending out some signal, and that signal is a God signal, and somebody sees that signal in the desolate island and says, no, animals don't create smoke.
You know,
Animals don't create
there
smoke.
There must be a person
who
there.
Should be on that island, and that's how rescue came his way. So sure. I'm telling somebody, rescue is coming your way sure. today. Rescue is coming your way. I don't know the fire you are into. I don't know the consuming situation that is around your life, but I've come to tell you that God is a God of the 11th
Man.
Hour. Just that moment when you're about giving up, you're about throwing the towel, God shows up for you.
Man.
You know, to be a good Bible scholar, we have to read some portions of scripture to make sense out of what we're doing. So if you have your Bibles, let's open to John 11. John 11. I'll read some few passages because it's quite a long chapter. And so we can read from verse 38 of John 11. Verse 38 says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. I don't know how your situation, how long your situation has been. We're talking of 4 days, but it might be a 4 months. There might be a four years. So there should be. There's a time frame around all what we're passing through in this life. You know, local thing you're preaching with me now.
Sure.
I'm sensing it. The 40th verse says, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
Amen.
Oh, very material. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. So, like every good Baptist preacher, let me give you 3 key principles that we can get from that passage. And if you have sufficient time around your hands, please read John 11 from verse 1 to 44. John 11, 1 to 44. Because of time, let's just get a little bit of an insight, extrapolate some key thoughts around this pericope today. So, number one, key principle that you can get out of this passage, in line with our very theme, God of the 11th hour, is that God knows the end from the beginning.
Come on.
God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning.
Sure.
If you read verse 4 says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, because definitely Lazarus was announced sick before he died. Verse 4 says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not end in
sure.
not end in death.
Mm.
No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And so I've come to tell somebody, write this point down. God knows the end from the beginning.
Come on.
God knows the end of this year from the very beginning of this year. And that's why we are consumed with anxiety, because we don't know how the year would end, but through Jesus Christ, we have confidence that
Amen.
It will end well. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah 46 verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. All that which God has purposed for your life this year shall come to pass.
Come on, somebody.
Your trust must be in the Lord. You must trust in the Lord, because God knows the end from
the beginning.
He knows whatever you're going through now. He knows the very pain of your life. He knows the circumstances that surround your very reality. He knows what happens even when people reject you. He knows what happens even when people abandon you. He knows what happens when people gossip about you. He knows the pain that comes from that sick bed. God knows from that false accusation that might have landed you into trouble. God knows the end. And I've come to say the end will be good. The end will end to the glory of God, if and only if you trust the Lord. If and only if you trust the Lord. There is a great American preacher, W.T. Perkiser. And W.T. Perkiser says, nothing takes God by surprise. He knows the future and can therefore guide us through its trackless ways.
Come on.
I repeat it again. Nothing takes God by surprise. He knows the future and can therefore guide us through its trackless ways.
So while you're crying in the boat thinking you're about to drown, and you're asking him, don't you care, Lord, that you'll be drowning? He's relaxed because he knows. He's known from the beginning. It's not going to capsize.
Definitely. He knows already. He knows. He knows that if you put your trust in him, it shall end well. Mm. What happens when it ends bad is when you don't put your trust in him. Nah. When you want to use your own ways, that's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Standing in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct or make your path straight.
Amen.
And I want to believe, write this first point, he's a God of the 11th hour because he knows the end from the beginning. Let me give you the second point. Write this down. He's a God of the 11th hour because God controls times and seasons. God controls times and seasons. If you want to read with me, you'll read from John 11:21-27, it says, Lord, Martha said to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection.
I said the resurrection is here, but you don't recognize that.
I am the resurrection and the life. You know, sometimes, look, we so much pray God, you know, pray to God as if he's far and not realizing that he lives
right
inside,
here.
In the inside of us. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whosoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. And I want to tell you this, one compelling truth is that Jesus Christ is in control of times and seasons. And so let me tell you, while you are looking at the very chronos of the time, God is working in the kairos of the time. While you're looking at our conventional time and you're saying, look, time is passing, and where is he? Where is that man of my life? Let me tell you, don't get exacerbated because you might take the wrong person.
Yeah.
God is in the details to give you the best.
Come on.
That's why the blessings of God make it rich and added no sorrow to it. Charles R. Swindle says this. Charles R. Swindle, great preacher, also says this about God in control of times and seasons. He says, when you accept the fact that sometimes seasons are dry and times are hard, and that God is in control of both, you will discover a sense of divine refuge. Because the hope then is in God and not in yourself.
Amen.
Or I repeat it, when you accept the fact that times and seasons are dry and they are hard, and that God is in control of both times and seasons, you will discover a sense of divine refuge.
Sure.
Because the hope then is not in you, but that hope is in God.
Amen.
So I've come to tell you, God is a God of the 11th hour because he controls the times and the seasons.
Amen.
Let me conclude. Number one, how do we know this? God knows the end from the beginning. Number two, God controls the times and the seasons. I love number three. If you're writing, we're concluding. Number three, he's a God of the 11th hour because God always takes glory at the 11th hour miracle.
Amen.
God always takes glory at the 11th hour miracle. If you want to read with me, read John 11:38-40. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there should be a bad odor. For he had been there for 4 days. That's enough to discourage you. It's enough to discourage somebody who does not qualify for a job. And they've told you, please don't put in your CV because you just don't qualify.
And we already have candidates that are qualified.
And there are candidates that are overqualified. And somebody just gets discouraging you. I've come to tell somebody, you don't get discouraged because God takes glory at the 11th hour miracle. And just follow what Jesus Christ said. And he said to her, did I not tell you? Can you add your name there? Mary, did I not tell you? Kakiso, did I not tell you? Sibonello, did I not tell you? Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you? Lebo, did I not tell you?
Sure.
Local, did I not tell you?
Hey, yeah.
Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Let me give you a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says, the glory of God's faithfulness is that no sin of ours has ever made him unfaithful. The glory of God's faithfulness is that no sin of ours has ever made him unfaithful. God will always be faithful because in that faithfulness, he takes the glory. And I've come to tell somebody, God shows up at the 11th hour of your life.
Amen.
And I don't know what you're going through in the season of that 11th hour of your life, but I've come to tell you, you are not alone. God is with you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God is the fourth person with you in that fire.
Amen.
Like Daniel in the lion's den and the window period, which was given for him to expire. God showed up and shut the mouth of the lion. And I'm saying, in that lion's den where you find yourself on that sick bed, I'm telling you, God is showing up at the 11th hour. We are just at the nick of time to the end of the year, and you're asking yourself, I had so much to do this year. I've not even realized one. I don't know, but I believe, and please believe God, that even this November into December, you just might have that letter of appointment. You just might have that letter of employment. You just might have that good news which will come your way if you trust the Lord. Father, I'm praying for somebody who is going through an 11th hour depressive mood, but I know that you're the God of the 11th hour because you show up when we are about giving up. You show up in our desolation, abandonment, and hope. Please show up in this very 11th hour in the life of the sister, in the life of the brother, and give them again a reason to honor you, to glorify you. For in every 11th hour, as we trust you, there is always a miracle, but there is always glory to be given to you. So I pray that somebody will trust you, just as Mary and Martha trusted you for Lazarus to come back to life. Let somebody trust you for the next miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. J. Until next week, God bless.
God bless you.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Join Vaynant and Janine on Good News Time, filled with information and inspiration.
weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m. on Radio Pulpit 657 a.m.
You and 657 a.m. and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.